Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. Thanking God that he woke me up this morning. Actually, my grandson woke me up this morning. But we're not going to go there because that's just personal business. But anyway, my grandson woke me up this morning because he just needed some time with Grandma. And so last night we spent time in the Word of God. And, you know, I love it because it reminded me of his sister when she was little, how she liked to hear the Bible read to her as she went to sleep. And, you know, it was so beautiful, and it just brought tears to my eyes, you know, knowing that my babies are with me this morning. So I just thank God I have all three of my grandkids today, and that they are spending the night. They spent the night with Grandma after we went to vacation Bible school. You know, it's just nice. Nice to be in God's presence. Nice to know that he loves us and that he cares for us and that he wants the best for us. God is just good like that. And I'm just thankful. You know, you see your kids and you see your grandkids and you just get thankful because it's a gift for your progeny to continue, that the people that you love, whether they're your blood relations or adopted, your children are your children. And all God asks for us to do is to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But understand that we know that doesn't always happen. Sometimes when the influence that keeps you on the right track leaves this earth, you forget what you learned. You forget the lessons taught. You forget how to do the things that you were taught to do. You forget God. I'm not talking about any of you, of course. But the Word of God this morning said, because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. And he's speaking to nations today. He's speaking to people today. He's speaking to leaders today. Leaders who have forgotten God, forsaken God, got caught up in okey-doke, got caught up in lies and deception, got caught up in things not like God. And in our word today, we're going to talk about a good king, a really great king, actually, came into his kingdom at 7 years old, came from a family of corrupt kings and good kings. He drifted away from God. He did a shift in the wrong direction because the influence that was there keeping him on the right track was gone. He forgot his blessings when he even killed the son of the person who raised him. But again, we reap what we sow. When we do dirt, it comes back on us. Don't think you've gotten away with anything, because eventually you will get caught. And eventually the scales will fall from the eyes of those that followed you. And when the disillusionment happens, you better be careful. As our little king will find out. But he was good. You're like, but he was a good king. He was so cute. He was 7 years old when he took over. He was, you know, he was just the cutest little king. You know, he was all that. But he lost his way. Many nations have fallen because they lost their way. Leadership has fallen because they lost their way. And they forsook God. And he forsook them. We don't want to be forsaken, America. Because we chose not to follow God. But we need to ask God that some of the awful, evil things that we're doing, if they're following them, our doctrine created by men. We got to trust God that all things are going to work for our good. But we got to do what's right. We got to love each other. We can't be pro-life. And then when the life is here, don't want to give benefits, don't want to help those that are in need. Children in America should not be starving when we are the richest nation in the world. Children in America should not be neglected, considering we have all the resources you could ever imagine. Don't just talk about it, be about it. We've got to be there for our children. And we got to love them right where they are. Because when you teach them the word of God, we pray that when they are old, they will not forget it. So keep trusting God. Don't forsake him. Because we don't want God to forsake us. Father God in heaven, we ask forgiveness for anything we have done as nations, as people, as your children, God. Please forgive us, oh God, as we repent and humble ourselves before you this morning. Lord God, we ask you to take control of our lives, Father. As I pray for those listening in this morning, I ask you to watch over them, God. Give them strength to stand up to power. Give them strength to be the best they can be. Give them strength, oh God, to love you more than they love themselves. Give us all strength to love you more than we love ourselves. But Lord God, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. As the psalmist said, just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. It's not just a song to me. It's my testimony. Lord, I love you more than anything. And I lift up this word to you this morning, asking you, Father God, asking you to please increase as your daughter decreases. As I humble my heart to you, Lord God, know that you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father in heaven. And I know you watch over me, and I know you love me. And I know that you care for me and my children and my grandchildren. And I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that can only come from you. Lord God, in the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you. I praise you. I lift your name on high. And I ask you again, Lord, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength and redeemer, and I cannot do it without you. And as you increase, Lord, and I decrease, let these words touch hearts, minds, and spirits. Give us an understanding that we don't drift away from the source of our strength, which is you, Father God. In Jesus' name, do not forsake us, Father. Do not forsake us, Father. Please be with us wherever we go. as your word says, you will never leave us or forsake us. And Father God, we stand on your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thanking God for all of you. Thanking you for joining me this morning as we move forward in God's word. And it is a great word this morning. You know, we're going to talk about the youngest king, 7 years old, Joash, who was a great little king until his mentor died. When his mentor died, he lost his wife, and he drifted away from God and went back to the ways of his forefathers, the ways of Ahab and Jezebel. He forgot who he belonged to. He forgot God. He forsook God. And God forsook him. So let's not follow in those footsteps. Let's follow in the footsteps of our Savior Jesus Christ. And walk in righteousness with God. Doing what thus says the Lord, and not what men say. Says in our word, in the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Joham, Ishmael the son of Johanan, Azariah the son of Obed, Maaseiah the son of Adiah, and Eliphaz the son of Zechariah. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel. And they came to Jerusalem. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of the God of God. And he said to them, behold, the king's sons shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. This is what you shall do. 1/3 of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and the Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors. 1/3 shall be at the king's house, 1/3 at the gate of the foundation. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord, but let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priests and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, but they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapon in his hand. And whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. So the Levites and all Judah, according to all Jehoiada, the priest commanded, and each man took his men and who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath. But Jehoiada, there it is, the priest had not dismissed the division. And Jehoiada, the priest, gave the captains of hundreds the spears and the large and small shields which had belonged to King David that were in the temple of God. Then he set all the people, every man with his weapon in his hand from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and by the temple, all around the king. And they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, long live the king. Woo, hallelujah. This baby became king at 7 years old. Remember, he had to be hidden because his mother, I believe she might have been a stepmother, went out and killed all the sons of the king, and he was the only one left because she wanted to be in charge. She wanted to be queen, and she did not want anybody taking her place. And it goes on to tell us, now when Athila heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. When she looked, there was the king standing by the pillar, at the entrance, and the leaders and the temperatures were by the king. Ooh, they were by the king. And so, you know, she's like, oh, man, my reign is over. All the people of Israel were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Also, the singers were with musical instruments and those who led in praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, treason, treason. And Jehoiada, priest, brought out the captains of hundreds who were set over the army and said to them, take our side under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her. But the priest had said, do not kill her in the house of the Lord. So they seized her, and she went by way of the entrance of the house gate, horse gate, into the king's house, and they killed her there. Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Y'all caught that right. That they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke in pieces its altars, images, and killed Nathan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also, Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned to the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offering of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Then he took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord, and they went through the upper gate to the king's house, set the king on the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zabiah of Bathsheba. So again, Athaliah was his stepmother, and she wasn't having it that any of these young men would become king. She wanted to be in charge of God's kingdom. Whew! And she got what she reaped. Death. And so Joash did what was right. Did I catch that? Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. So he had a sign there. He had a sign there. He got his wives assigned to him because they didn't want him to fall by the same way as Solomon and fall by the same way as his forefathers, men and women that were idolaters who took them down the wrong path. So they're trying, he was trying to do what was right for this young man. And let's go ahead and see what happens. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the king called Jehoiada, the priest, the chief priest, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord of the assembly of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman had broken into the house of God and had presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baal. Oh, just wicked. And that's why they all did it. Then at the king's command, they made a chest and set it outside at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced, brought their contributions, and put them into the chest until all had given. So it was at that time when the chest was brought to the king's official by the hand of the Levites. They saw that there was much money, that the king's scribe and the high priest officers came and emptied the chest and took it and returned it to the place. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. The king and the order gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of God of the Lord, and also those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and the work was completed. By them they restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada. They made him its articles, from its articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offering spoons and vessels of gold, silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old. Did y'all catch that? This priest was 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel both toward God and his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah. Because what does the word of God say in the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And right away, as soon as the man of God died, the king drifted away because he was keeping bad company, and the Lord forsook them. Now let's listen to what the word of God continues to say in verse number 18. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Are you listening this morning? Are we getting that we could easily fall because we didn't do right by God? And it says, in the spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest who stood before the above the people and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. I'm going to read that again because that can go for any nation, not just Israel, not just the city of Jerusalem, but any of us. It can go against households. It can go against churches. It can go against anyone. I just had a moment thinking how awful it would be for God to forsake me. How awful it would be for God to forsake this nation. How awful it would be for God to forsake this planet and all of us on it because we forgot God and wanted to take him out of everything. God doesn't play, y'all. We can't drift away from God. We got to stay in our square where the light is, where God is leading you and guiding you to the light, and only to the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it says in His word, and I'm going to come back and go back to 20 because it's so important who this young priest was. He might have been old, but who Zechariah was. Since then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest who stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, not what I say, but thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, think that through, the command of the king, who this Zechariah's father raised, protected, and made king, anointed. Come on now. Because thus, Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but killed his son, and as he died, he said, the Lord, look on it and repay. So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against them, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people and sent all the spoils to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash, and when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada, the priest, and killed him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tomb of the king. These are the ones who conspired against him, Zabad, the son of Shimei, and the Ammonites, and Jozabad, the son of Shemesh, the Moabites. Now concerning his sons and the army and the many oracles about him and the repairing of the house of God, indeed they are written in the annals of the book of Kings, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. And we'll come back for the life example for Second Chronicles after we get through our whole word, because it fits the rest of our word today. But we will hit life lessons for these two chapters. And the first life lesson is 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 24. The Lord delivered a very great army into their hands because they have forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Just as God handed over huge enemy armies to the small but faithful forces of Israel, so he handed a huge but unfaithful Israelite army over to a small pagan force. The presence of God, not the size of the army, is what really matters. Can I say that again? The presence of God, not the size of the army, is what really matters. Is God in the midst of everything you do? Are you honoring God today by your presence, by your love, by your kindness, by your goodness, by your mercy? God is so good. Psalm 83:9-18, deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin, at the brook of Kishon, who perished in Endor, who became as refuge on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zaba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. Oh, my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the wood, and as the flame sets the mountain on fire. As flame sets the mountain on fire. Are we not going through that right now in this nation's fires burning in national forests after our trees that are thousands of years ago? Wow. Fire set the flame sets the mountains on fire. We need to read the book, because some of the things going on right now in nations all over the world, they're in the book. And it says, so pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. But let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Whoa. And the life lesson from our proverb words, as we go into Proverbs, is this: every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We see that also happening right now, that somebody in their own eyes thought they were this, that, and the other, and found out they were not and couldn't handle it, and got a whole nation riled up, ready for war over the word of liars and cheats and those that do not do right. Seeing it played out all over the world, where you have prime ministers resigning, ex-prime ministers being executed. It's so much going on. Folks have lost their way. But we got to stay in our square. We got to not lose our way towards God. But he is in charge of everything. And it says this: to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I'm reading it again. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. God wants the heart. He is not interested in our compliance without an inward desire to willingly and joyfully obey. In fact, he hates religious pretense because it mocks his heart's desire for us. Amos 5:21. And I'm going to say that again. In fact, fakeness. He hates religious pretense because it mocks his heart's desire for us. We can't pretend to love God. We can't pretend to love his people and treat each other like we do. God will hold us accountable. We don't want God to forsake us. We don't want to be the forsaken. We don't want to be a Joash killed in our bed because we did what's wrong and drifted from God. Hallelujah. God sees everything and knows our heart. Our New Testament word this morning is coming out of Acts chapter 18. And it says this. Now remember, as we read on yesterday, Paul is in Athens, whichever way you pronounce it. I like to call it Athens. And it says this: after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. Well, by occupation, they were tent makers. And he had responded. Wait a minute. I lost my spot, family. I am human. And I am trying my best to not fall asleep this morning. Praise the Lord, everybody, that I ask you to come in and take control. And it said this, and he reasoned in a synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. He was doing his job to bring people to Christ. And I got so filled up last night when I watched my whole class accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It was amazing. When Pastor, who wanted to be saved, practically my whole entire class stood up to be saved. These are children wanting to be saved. Pray for our children today, that many more will want to be saved, that we will stop the violence in our schools, that we will stop the killings in our streets. Oh, Lord, please watch over this day. Please help us to be better, God, better toward each other. Help us not to forsake you, Lord, so you don't forsake us. Let us be truly a nation, one nation under God. Oh, God, be with us. Help us, Lord. And as we get back into our word, it says this. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silence, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia. The Jews, with one accord, rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wickedness, O Jews, well, there would be reason why I should hear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourself, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, a ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed to Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time, with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order and strengthening all the districts. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross the Acacia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to recover him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed, and through grace for the vigorous receded, the Jews publicly showing from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Can y'all say it with me? Jesus is the Christ. There's no one before him and there's no one after him. He is the one and only Christ. And he's our Savior. Praise the Lord. And I have a few life lessons, and I want to get back to Second Chronicles so we can get in the life example this morning. And it says this in Acts 18:4, he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Paul had a Bible centered, thoughtful approach to evangelism. He reasoned and persuaded people of the truth of the gospel, working from the text of the Bible. Paul had a Bible-centered, thoughtful approach to evangelism. He reasoned and persuaded people of the truth of the gospel, working from the text of the Bible. He respected their intelligence and honored their questions. Acts 18:9, do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. Let's say that one more time. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. It's silence that gets us in trouble every time when good people allow bad people to do bad things. It affects us all one way or the other. And it says this in Acts 18:9. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. Paul took courage in his evangelism efforts because, number one, Jesus told him to keep speaking. Two, Jesus promised to be with him. Three, Jesus promised to protect him. And four, Jesus proclaimed him. Jesus promised to be with him. Jesus promised to protect him. Jesus promised him success. We can take courage for identical reasons. Whatever the Lord promises, he delivers. Jesus said to Paul what he was doing, why he allowed him to see his face, why he allowed him to preach the gospel. And it tells us in Acts 18:27-28, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Through grace, people believe in Christ and through grace they come to understand his will by grasping the instructions of the Bible. Ooh, hallelujah, what a word. And it goes on to say, and through grace God gives us gifted teachers to help us to understand. God wants us to be better. Are you better today than you were yesterday? I'm just being honest. I am a little tired. Vacation Bible school takes some stuff out of you because you got to be prepared and ready. And you, I had the biggest class. I had a big class, and I had some issues. But I know that God is good because, you know, even though God gave me all the children, some very unchurched. But that's good because I love to pour in God's word. And our word for yesterday was God created man in his image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. And as we get to our life example this morning from 2 Chronicles chapter 24, it says, King Joash drifted. Though he started out as a godly man who loved and obeyed the Lord, once the positive influence in his life, Joadad the priest died, it was all downhill. 2 Chronicles 24:17-18 explains, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came. This one from a king restoring the temple to a king rejecting God because of what somebody else did. Bad company corrupts good people. It will forsake you. Joash rejected God and died a hated apostate. Evil king who wasn't even good enough to be buried in the tomb with the other kings of Judah. He drifted away from God because he wasn't anchored in God's truth, whether he got caught up in the current of other people's opinions that led him to destruction. Have you found yourself drifting in your spiritual life? You're not reading the Bible as often or getting on your knees in prayer because God, like you once did. Maybe you're caught up with the wrong crowd and haven't attended worship services in a long time. Ooh, if the shoe fits, wear it. The most disturbing part of it is that you just don't feel God's presence anymore. Something is happening in your spiritual life, and it isn't good. You're drifting, which means you're headed for trouble. It's very easy to drift because you get caught up in the ways of the world. On the other hand, it takes a great deal of effort to stay on track with God because you're constantly fighting the world's current. Whew. That's why any one of us can drift when we get tired or lazy or we lose the person who helps us stay on track. We're all in danger of neglecting our relationship with him. We can't neglect our relationship with God. It says, understand that God wants to give you purpose and direction for your life, direction that will lead you to abundant life rather than the ruin of drifting. That's why God's disciples, that's why God disciplines disobedient Hebrews. That's why God, you know, in Hebrews 12:10 tells us, but he for our profit, that we may be protected of his holiness. God won't allow us to drift away from his word, his will, or his purpose for our life without divine discipline, because he loves us and wants what's best for us. However, God also wants us to have a positive, godly role in his kingdom work. And we can't as long as we're participating in a life of sin. So how do we stop ourselves from drifting? And I got some little piece of paper, and it says this. Number one, we prevent ourselves from drifting by anchoring to the Word of God. Are you anchored in God's Word? If you listen to this Word this morning, you're getting anchored. I'm anchored in the Word of God. First, we must be anchored to the Word of God, everything we need to know, everything that will keep us safely on course is in the Bible. God wants to teach us through it. He lifts verses off his pages and applies them to our minds and hearts, giving us clear direction. Whenever we need counsel about what to do, we can always look to God's Word. Number two, we prevent ourselves from drifting by obeying the Word of God. So, again, the first one is we prevent ourselves from drifting by anchoring to the Word of God. Now, we obey the Word of God. We shouldn't only read the Bible, rather we should think about it, absorb it, and do as it tells us to do. In order to stop ourselves from drifting, we must obey God's Word and make it an integral part of our life. We've got to be willing to submit to whatever God commands us to do. What a word this morning. And it says we prevent ourselves from drifting by surrendering our life to God. The third way we stop ourselves from drifting. Okay, this is what number three is. Prevent ourselves from drifting by surrendering our life to God. So number one, we got to anchor in the Word of God. Number two, we got to obey the Word of God. Number three, we got to render our life to God. The third way we stop ourselves from drifting is very simple, but also extremely difficult. We must surrender our life completely to God and submit ourselves to God before we get out of bed each morning. Begin the day. Let me get back here. My eyes are drifting, as we say. And it goes on to tell us this morning, and I apologize for a very tired host. Whew. As I said, grandchildren are work. Since the third way we stop ourselves from drifting is very simple, but also extremely difficult. Surrender our life completely to God. Submit ourselves to God before we get out of bed each morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us this word. Begin the day with a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I surrender my entire life to you today. I am completely yours. Oh, I want to pray that again. Lord Jesus, I surrender my entire life to you today. I am completely yours. Then when some conflict, challenge, or temptation comes along, the Spirit of God will remind us that we have committed ourselves to obedience. And it goes on to tell us number four, we prevent ourselves from drifting by staying on guard. So our first thing is we prevent ourselves from drifting by anchoring to the Word of God. We prevent ourselves from drifting by obeying the Word of God. We prevent ourselves from drifting by staying on guard. Hallelujah. Number four, we got to stay on guard. We got to put on the full armor of God every day. And it said, understand that Satan is an enemy who will do whatever it takes to get us to drift away from God. I'll call it getting out of our square of light, getting out of our spot where God has placed us. That's what I say. We drift away from the light. Hallelujah. Therefore, we must stay on guard against the schemes of the enemy. Have you been driven to your lack of power to enjoy of the Christian life? Now, how do you get back on track when you've been put drifting? When you've been drifting, first acknowledge that you've been drifting away from God by confessing your sin. Second, repent. That means that you admit what heartily that you devoted to your Lord and Spirit. And I want to read that again. I want to make sure we get that paragraph. Have you been driven to your lack of power and joy of the Christian life? How do you get back on track when you've been drifting? And I was drifting this morning because I'm half asleep, and I asked God to take the sleepiness away because I got to go to work, and I want to be fully alert. I asked God to remove those things that are not like him. First, acknowledge that you've been drifting away from God by confessing your sin. Second, repent. That means that you admit what you should be doing, which is being wholeheartedly devoted to your Lord and Savior. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the fire. If you don't change your course, you're ultimately going to destroy your life like King Joash did. But if you get right with God, you'll be back on track to experience his very best for your life. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And again, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And you need to get this Bible. It is, telling you, phenomenal. It is an awesome word to have in your biblical arsenal. It is a great word. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ and our prayer for today. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, when you ask God, you come through. Oh, I thank him this morning. And it says, God is faithful. Remember to give him thanks every chance you get. It's y'all on point again. Have a thankful Thursday. We are not forsaking the Lord today. We're going to get up, get moving, get doing what God called us to do, to work the work. And it says, my parachute for today's prayer, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Woo! Say it with me. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will put my trust in you. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Psalm 56:3. Prince of Peace, I am grateful for your presence that is always with me. Your love follows me. Come on now. Your love follows me. Your love follows me. I keep feeling that. Your love follows me even when I think I've lost my way. There is nowhere I can go where you are not. You are all around me. Spirit of God, come and cover me now with your grace. You see my fears. You know what I'm avidly skirting around these days. Keep my heart secure in you. I put my trust in you. Where uncertainty causes me to pull into myself, I purposely lay all out before you. Here are my concerns, God. I give you full access to them. I don't want to hold back from you when I know that you are able to lead me with perfect peace. I trust you to guard my heart in your love. Right now, I receive your gentle instructions. I'm holding on to you. Don't forsake God today, so God will not forsake you. Thank you, family, for listening in. I know I was having a few technical difficulties, and some of those difficulties were me. Hallelujah. So I ask God to forgive me. I ask God to guide me. Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. That's a word we need to keep in our heart, because we don't want to forsake the Lord, and we don't want the Lord to forsake us. Lift up your hands and say, Father God, I give myself away to you. If I have committed any sins, Father God, I ask you to forgive me from the core of my being, Father God. I give myself to you. Lead me, guide me, show me the way, oh God. For I am your daughter. I am your son. I am your child. Father God, I believe in you. You created me. You created me for such a time as this, to worship you, to praise you, to preach and teach your word, to do what you have called us to do. Father God, give us strength. Keep us in our square. Keep us in the light. Do not allow us to drift away from you. So, Father God, I give it us all to you today, asking you to take control of everything. And, Father God, I lift up my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I give it all to you because I love you. Lord God, teach me to love like you. In Jesus' name. And Father God, as we depart from each other, I ask you, Lord, watch between me and all those that are listening as we depart and we pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day, family. Remember, don't forsake God, and he won't forsake you. Be blessed and have a wonderful day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. I got to wake up and I got to go to work. Hallelujah. On the other job that pays the bills. Hallelujah. Because God is in charge of my whole life. And I thank him for this day. And I thank him for waking me up this morning with a little voice that said, I need something from you. And it was my baby who needed a little help with some stuff. So I thank God for the grand being with me today. And ask God to continue watching over them as he watches over me. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.